Tonight's Big Brother episode recap is sponsored by Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand is the online fitness streaming service that gives you unlimited access to a wide variety of highly effective world-class workouts to meet your needs. They've got a great offer. You can try a free trial membership by texting the word ROB, R-O-B, to 303030 for a free trial of Beachbody On Demand. I've been using the service for over a year, and I love it. I hate going to the gym. I procrastinate all the time, and Beachbody On Demand lets me do everything that I want to do in terms of a workout from the comfort of my own home. You don't need a lot of stuff to get started. You could do body weight exercises, yoga. I've got a bunch of resistance bands and dumbbells here to make it all very convenient. They've got all sorts of different workouts, Pio, P90X, Insanity, 3-week yoga retreat with Vetus. It's a new year. Get a new you. You could be working out all the time like James Maslow. So go ahead and give it a try. Beachbody On Demand has programs for any fitness level, from cardio to weight training, yoga, low impact, even dance. Over 600 different workouts are available to you. So go ahead and give it a try. Right now, our listeners can get that free trial membership when you text the word ROB to 303030. You'll get full access to the entire platform for free, all the workouts and nutritional information, all there for free. Just text the word ROB to 303030 to start working out with Beachbody On Demand. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to talk about the latest fandemonium going on in the Big Brother house. I am Rob Cesperino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Big Brother recap tonight, Wednesday night, Valentine's Day. Excited to get to talk about the Big Brother Celebrity Edition once again tonight. It's with a heavy heart that we do the show tonight with the terrible school shooting down in Florida. And of course, you know, it's stuff like this that is just a pleasant distraction on a terrible night like this. But we have a job here to do tonight. So we will talk about something that is very meaningless and very unimportant in the scheme of things, as we think of all of the families going through a terrible night down in Florida. But here with us to talk about everything going on here today, of course, somebody who's hoping that we can wrap up this podcast at a reasonable hour so that he can get back to watching the Olympic figure skating, Brett Wagelbach. Brett, how are you?
Doing good, Rob. Did you hear that Omarosa is a fan of Rob as a Podcast? She used my catchphrase tonight. Nice. Girl bye.
Yes. Omarosa did drop a girl bye on us. So there you go.
Girl bye.
Yes. I'm sure she picked that up from you and not Robin Roberts, Brent.
It's definitely a possibility.
Okay. And I'm very excited to have this guest here back with us tonight to talk about this. One of my favorite guests in all of Big Brother. Please welcome back from Big Brother 18, the great Big Meech.
Hello. I am excited. This is probably the best season in a very, very long time. It has more gameplay than my season ever had.
So. Yes, I know. You're pumped up. You're excited.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think I would like it, but it's freaking good. They are playing.
Yeah. So, all right. We're very excited to have you back. Michelle, what have you been up to?
You know, working, having a full-time job, pretty much that.
Yes. Okay. And everything's going good on the job front? Everything is swell?
Yeah, I've had patients before asked to take photos of me when they're in their gown. So that's kind of awkward when they're in their like bed and they're like, I know you. And they like want to take a selfie and they're like in their hospital gown sick. And it's very awkward.
Okay. Well, great to have you here with us tonight to talk about everything going on with Big Brother. Scott St. Pierre, not with us tonight. So what we're going to do for your questions, tweet them to me, hashtag RHAP or at Rob Cesternino. And I will bring up the questions when we get to that point in the show. A lot to talk about here tonight with our nominations now here. And then also a lot from the live feeds, and also maybe, who knows, we might even get the results of the power of veto at some point during this show tonight. If not, be sure to check out Taryn Armstrong's update in the morning. He'll be sure to have it All right. So let's get into this. So we have our nominations. And Michelle, we saw instead no pussyfooting around, no backdoor plan. Ari's the new HOH. She says we're going for Shannon and James.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that? Do you like the direct approach?
I mean, that's the two targets they want out. And I think and either or is fine with them. So I think it's, you know, great. And they saw how good James played in, you know, the past few competitions. So I think it was a smart move.
Yeah. Brent, you feel like that was the right call here? Don't get involved with any fancy schmancy backdoor planning.
Yeah, I think it also helps to isolate Shannon and James on you know, their own island and bring the rest of the house together. If you put up two pawns and keep Shannon and James in the dark, it gives people like Ross and Marissa more time to continue to play the middle. This just brings everything out into the open. And I think if you're Ari and Brandy and they're basically a twosome at this point, I think this is the best move by far.
Right. Can you help catch us up to speed in terms of where did the show end up? So I know Monday night we had our big episode and we had everything going on with the live eviction. Is this up until yesterday when the show ended?
Yeah, up until yesterday, because when we were doing the roundtable yesterday, I think the feeds were down. Maybe they were drawing for the players for the power of veto. I think that was a possibility. But I know that nominations happened yesterday. Boy, you know, when the season goes this fast, all the days sort of blend together, especially when you're, you know, somebody like me who's covering many of those said days. So, yeah, up until yesterday was where we left off. And going into this nomination, as you saw, and I'm glad they showed it that way, that Shannon knew that she was going to be nominated for eviction.
Michelle, have you kept up with the feeds or are you just watching the shows?
I've been watching clips of the feeds. I sadly don't have CBS All Access. No, everyone always asks me if we get it for free. No, we don't, which sucks. And yeah, I haven't, but I've seen clips and I've been keeping up with Reddit. So,
okay. So you're in the know. You're in the know.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite player this season?
I'm really, my pick on Reddit is Meta, just because according to EW or Entertainment Weekly, he is literally the worst Big Brother player ever. So I'm going to root for him.
No, this was a coming out party of sorts for Meta World Peace tonight, Brent, because we've
Meta
seen
World Beast.
Yeah, Meta World Beast. And now he's gotten so mad. He's like a man who has been wronged. And he says, hey, you kept me away from my wife, who I love very much. Now I have to stay in this house and destroy you.
Yeah, it was a really fun listening to him, too, because he was talking to the diary room like, well, you know, you let Keisha go home and you wouldn't let me go home. And I'm like, yeah, it's basically the same. So she had problems with her breast milk and her baby. And you're just a little horny for your wife. So it's basically the same thing. I understand.
Yes.
It's so unfair. Yes.
He found an owl, though, to keep him company. So yeah, that's helping.
Michelle, we actually got to see a different point of view on the Keisha situation. Of course, it all happened so quickly during the live veto and eviction on Monday night. But we got to see some clips where not everybody was on board. It was a 7-0 vote where unanimously they sent her home. But Brandy in particular was not thrilled with this decision. What did you think about what Brandy had to say about the Keisha situation? Did you feel like that Brandy was especially insensitive, or did you feel like that she had some good points?
No, she definitely had some good points. I mean, it kind of scared me when Keisha said that she hasn't been away from her child like in a day. Like, I feel like she's going to be a really like a helicopter mom. Like if that's her mentality, like, yeah, I understand like the breast milk portion of it, but mm-hmm. It's like the portion where I feel like it was also that she's away from her baby too.
Yeah. Well, the baby's only one. I mean, where is she going to go and be away from the baby for a day?
I don't know, Vegas.
Just go to Vegas.
Take a break from the baby. I don't know.
Yeah. But no, I was surprised that they gave us that, Brent, of Brandy's very strong objection to say, hey, why do you get to go home? Why do you, you're here. You chose to come here. You're screwing up our plans. Stay.
I think that they were using Brandy as a conduit for the way the audience was feeling, because I know a lot of the audience was like, well, why did you even come on this show if you've never been away from your baby before and you knew that, you know, he only takes breast milk and not formula? I mean, this that was your decision. So I think she was like speaking for the audience. And I know that the producers were probably aware that many of the people in the audience were waiting for a Shannon blindside. I mean, the show led up to it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see Keisha talking in the backyard, like, please send me home. I'm sure from a narrative perspective, they wanted to just wrap that story up because narratively it was a little bit disjointed.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely confusing to us that when it went down like that. I know it was something that she had been touching on in the live feeds, but then to have it come out so quickly that the house guests had only been dealing with it for a couple of hours. But ultimately, Keisha goes home. That's her decision. We wish her the best. We wish her the best. Yes. Okay. But now the game must go on. The game must go on now. And so Shannon had a second life in the game. Now, something that I had heard, and Brent, I wonder if you could confirm this. This is a little bit live feed adjacent, but did Shannon throw that competition? Was there talk that Shannon was throwing that competition because she wanted to potentially go for HOH in a potential double eviction on Friday?
I have not heard tell of that, although I may have missed it, but I mean, Shannon is just somebody who wants to win everything. And, you know, she put up a relatively good time. I mean, there are only two other people who came within, you know, a minute of beating her time. So I'll just say this. If she was going to throw it, I think there were easier ways to do it. I mean, she put up a time of 3 minutes and most of the people there couldn't touch that time besides Ari and James. So I think that's fake news.
Okay. Okay, fake news. Michelle, let's talk a little bit about Shannon because, you know, she came into this game and with her hair on fire, she's going to win everything. And then now we've seen her now at her lowest low. You're somebody who has had good times and bad in that Big Brother house. What is your take on Shannon, the player, right now?
I mean, I feel like that's just the type of person she is. I mean, we've all, like, she reminded me so much of Tiffany, like, her in the sunglasses. Did you guys see that last clip? And mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
I know myself, like I was very like shut in that last week. And it just happens to the people that like, I feel like know the game better and, you know, are wanting to win. And it just like blows up in your face. And I do feel bad for her, but she did play way too hard early on. So
yeah. Did somebody mention Tiffany? Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's just, it's uncanny. I think that's a very good metaphor, actually, Meech, because we've been saying that she reminds us so much of Vanessa, but I think she is a little bit more Tiffany-esque because I feel like Vanessa just gets angry and like she's really good at, you know, changing the situation to her benefit. Tiffany didn't quite have the same skill set, and I feel like that's where Shannon is at this point. Obviously, mm-hmm. having a little fun with the glasses here, but this is for those people listening to the audio podcast. Having said that, I mean, this is I feel for Shannon because she came into the game wanting to win everything. She's a Big Brother super fan. She's watched every season. And then the whole thing with the week one alliance, I think, you know, if she thought about that again, she probably wouldn't make that flip necessarily, Rob. But once the train started moving toward the flip, it's very hard to stop it. Because if you stop it, then, you know, the people that you were going to turn against usually find out about the fact that you were going to do something. I mean, Ross got very lucky that, you know, after Keisha basically stopped his blind side of Shannon, that then Ari goes and wins HOH and barely beats James's time. Because if James wins HOH, I mean, everything comes out in the wash and Ross and Marissa are probably sitting on the block. It's definitely, I mean, or maybe Ross and Brandy.
Yeah. How about that razor thin margin of victory? What was that? A hundredth of a second, a tenth of a second that James ultimately lost to Ari? I mean, this is a completely different week, Brent, if we end up with James winning that HOH.
Yeah. And if for those people who say that Big Brother isn't fair, and I know that, you know, I've had my tinfoil hat on at different times too, but I know, right? Who would the show rather have as HOH? The guy who's been narrating, been very funny in the diary room, and who would definitely save Shannon in James? Mm-hmm. Or the girl who, like, even Omarosa said on the live feeds that Ari was not supposed to win this HOH. I mean, I'm sure production's like, what? No, you're not. No, that's, can we, Let's recast the HOH role, please.
Yes. So, you heard it here first. Brent stands for the integrity of a Big Brother gameplay.
Well, at least insofar as the comps go.
Yes. I know. But that was really exciting to have it come down that close like that. But ultimately, Ari becomes the HOH here. And I thought that this was interesting because so many people have been complimentary on all these podcasts about Ari and Brandy so far. Michelle, what have you thought of Ari to this point?
I don't know. She's not really doing much for me, but I love Brandy. Brandy has really impressed me. Like, she's so aware of what's going on, and she's sassy too, but she's not that, you know, dumb housewife I thought she was. So
yeah, totally. And let's be clear about this. Ari is the HOH, but Brandy is the power behind the throne. I mean, Brandy is the one telling Ari what to do. Brandy,
yeah.
Ari's a great player. She's certainly sociable, and maybe she could win a jury vote at the end.
Yeah.
But I feel like that Brandy is the alpha to her beta.
You know, Brent, you've watched everybody on these live feeds, and I'm sure that you probably watch Brandy plenty because she's so much fun. Do you get the sense that she's enjoying her time in Big Brother Celebrity?
Yes, I do. She's been such a revelation, really. I really, like I said on the roundtable, I thought that she was filler. I thought she'd be like, you know, second, no, third. No,
her lips have filler.
Well, that's true. Well, and that's why I thought she would get the model curse. I thought she'd be the pretty girl that goes home in week two. And she has proven to be anything but. She's hungry for the win. She alluded to some financial issues when she was arguing with Keisha. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
my kids got to eat too.
I know, right?
Brandy?
Yeah, when she was talking about, well, you know, I have to feed my kids too. It's not the same thing.
Apparently she sends them to like $30,000 a year private school.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, I thought, well, here, let me be clear about Brandy so people don't come for me on Twitter and for you, Rob. Like, I'm not saying that Brandy has. I'm not saying that Brandy had some good points insofar as how she verbalize them with Keisha. I thought she sounded like a crazy person when she was talking with Keisha, but when she was in the diary room talking to us, I thought she was a little bit more cogent in what she was saying, and her meds hadn't kicked in yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, we don't need to relitigate everything from the Keisha and Brandy situation. But in terms of Brandy Glanville as a player, and I will say that I think it was very interesting that she does seem to be enjoying herself. But when she was going into the house and I had the chance to talk with her, I knew that she had just played in Big Brother UK. And then I figured, like, oh, she must love Big Brother because she's going back to do it. And I said, I know you just did Big Brother UK. Did you like it? And she said, no, I hated it. I said, okay, well, I don't think this is going to go well.
It's such a different game, though, Rob, because here she can manipulate things to her own bidding. You know, she can cause what she wants to happen to happen. Over in the UK, people are voting on stuff. You know, America or the UK puts up the nominees or they vote on the nominee. I don't even know how it works. I don't watch that show. But it's not this game. And I think she's having a lot more fun in this game.
Michelle, did you know her from Real Housewives at all?
No, but on Amazon, they have a 12-pack of the gold under eye things. So I'm going to buy them.
Because you want to, they look cool or you feel like they work?
The reviews on Amazon say they work. And Brandy, a Real Housewife, wears them. So come on now.
Okay. All right. So
I'll let you know.
There you go. Is that what all the Brandy stands are doing? They're wearing the gold under eye. What would you call those masks?
I think so.
Sure.
They're real gold, apparently, but not like a ton of real gold. Like, they're only $24, so of course, but
24 carats. Yeah.
Yes.
So Tonight we also saw Omarosa rising after we had everything going on in the last couple episodes. She left the house. She got in with this asthma attack. Even Michelle, we learned that she had to have an IV. This asthma attack was so bad that they had to treat her intravenously.
Wow.
Yes.
That's all I got to say. I work in a hospital and I've never seen that. So
yeah. I
passed out in the Big Brother house from like sun poisoning and I didn't get an IV. So
yeah. All right. Well, I would love for any of our medical correspondents to let us know if that's how the asthma attack should be treated. Far be it from us to speculate. But Omarosa really is looking like she is in a good position at this point in time. Now, Michelle, what is your take on Omarosa?
I don't care. Like, people are like, I feel like hot or cold on her, but I really like her because she is just so iconic in the Diary Room. Like, she's just so entertaining. She just has this like presence about her where you just have to listen to her. And I don't know. I'm like, I always root for the villain. I don't know why. So
yeah. And I don't even think she's a villain at this point. I agree with you, Meech, though. I do root for her. I just think that she has a way about her that is just, it's just uncanny. And nobody else really talks like her, and nobody can get you upset like she can. The thing that she was talking about, Rob, when she was talking about to Shannon about, well, let's just, you know, as long as we're having a come to Jesus moment, let's just get this on the table. Were you strategizing against me while I was in the hospital? I literally wanted to like shake Shannon and go, say yes, because you were, number one. And number two, it's not like she was dying in the hospital. Like, she just had an asthma attack and got a, here she gets, she got an IV. I got an IV 2 weeks ago. Like, it doesn't, I mean, it didn't matter. Like, I mean, it was just crazy. Like, they were arguing about nothing. Like, just so, basically, it was a so what moment. So what if I was strategizing against you while you were in the hospital? It doesn't matter because I thought there was a great possibility you were going to come back, and I respect you as a competitor. That's what Shannon needed to say, but she's having too much of a crybaby-itis to even think at this point.
Yeah, no, I think
don't use that word. You know, I don't like that word.
It's the truth. That's what's happening with Shannon right now.
Yeah, I think it's very hard to come after Omarosa and then be sort of tiptoeing when she comes directly at you. It feels like that the only way to take Omarosa on is to go for her 100% and not be timid at all about it, Michelle.
No, it's like, I just, her last DR of that episode is just like still like in my head where she's like, is better served cold. Like, just the way she says stuff, it's just so dramatic. And, you know, she's, that's just how she is.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this from the perspective of Shannon, because this episode really started to paint the picture about her very bad situation that she's in. And we saw this moment in the game where that, okay, she wants Omarosa and Meta World Peace to go up on the block. And so everybody is like, okay, well, here's what we'll do. We've got this plan, and we won't ever let her have a moment to speak with Ari about the nominations. And Meta World Beast ends up going up into the Diary Room. Brent, she sits there. She waits it out. She ultimately leaves. And then again, this is one of these situations where, like, oh my God, did you guys see that? She's crazy. She's crazy. Oh my God. What a lunatic she is.
Yeah. If Paul was in the house, he would have the entire house going like, yo, did you see that? What? Like, did you see how she's playing? She's totally lying. She was yelling at us. Like, even though she never even entered the
room. So gumpy.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought that Shannon really dropped the ball here. Not that it would have made it like a hills being whatever the phrase is. It wouldn't have made a difference. She could have pulled Ari and said, you know what? Can I just have a minute with you alone? That's what she needed to say. She needed to go to Ari and say, hey, can I have a minute alone?
Yeah.
I just want a minute alone.
Especially with Omarosa not there. Omarosa would say, why? Why do you need a minute with Ari? Why can't you say it in front of the group?
Yeah. Well, I'd say, well, this doesn't concern you. It's an A-B conversation. See your way out, you know? So that, I feel like she just needs to be like direct, and like what was happening during the competition last week, where she was talking about the strategy to get out Omarosa and Keisha during the veto competition. She said, you know, Shannon, I'm talking about, where, you know, do you know the strategy? Just keep picking Omarosa over and over again. You know, like, just say it. She's right there. She's going to know you're talking about her. You might as well just get it out in the open.
Yeah, but I did think that was a it came off really good for Meta World Peace, Meech.
Being the bodyguard.
Oh, he's lying on the floor?
Yes, playing defense, what he does best.
You know what? I have a surprise. You guys talk for a second.
Okay, wait, so Big Meech has walked away. She is going to get something. This is like being at a Carrot Top show, Brent. Oh, she has an owl. She has Orwell, Brent.
It's yeah. The exact one.
How did you get that, Michelle?
Pop TV sent it to me.
Yes. Okay. So, they sent it to you, what, to promote Big Brother After Dark?
Yeah, for 19.
Okay. There you go. So, an honest to goodness Orwell.
Pop TV.
Yes. Now, Meta World Peace says that Orwell has become a substitute for his wife. Is Orwell your Valentine, Michelle?
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. I don't know. Of all the days in the Big Brother house, this one probably has to be the worst for Meta World Peace, given that it's Valentine's Day. He's away from his wifey. He wanted her to be his Valentine, and now he doesn't know the answer. I've heard that maybe he, like, got out of the confines of the house. Like, he actually did jump over the fence and, like, ran around the street or something, but then they got him back in. Like, I'm pretty sure that happened. That's not fake news.
But
he didn't leave the bubble of CBS, Incorporated. So I feel like that's why he's still in the house.
Right now. What happens when that? So Meta World Peace gets out of the compound and then is just, like, running around the lot and they have to chase him?
I mean, Rob, I don't have eyes there, so I don't know.
I heard that's pretty much, he walked past, like, all the production, because he went, like, through the walls, because I do remember this. There was a big red button, and you did, like, it was never to be pushed, but
the reset button
unlocked all the doors.
Yeah. And then do they just chase him with a golf cart and a megaphone, like, Metal World Peace, come back to the Big Brother house?
Imagine, like, Price is Right people, like, on the next lot.
Just he runs into the next show. And
that would be great. Can you imagine? He's then escaping to the Price is Right.
Yeah. Okay. What do you want to bid on this showcase? Wait, who is that? Meta World Peace. Hey, get back here.
He runs on the Price is Right stage.
Yeah.
To answer your question, though, Rob, I think that he's been doing a great job ever since he got his head in the game a little bit. I mean, I don't know how far his head is in the game at this point. And I don't know how much. I think a lot of what he was saying was probably production cued, definitely prompted by production to say, hey, well, hey, now that
rattle the couch.
Yeah,
well, that I think that was him. That was him. The thing about him, basically the thing about him coming to play the game, Meta World Beast, that whole thing, the fact that they wouldn't let him leave and now he's coming for each one of them, that sounded very DR prompted to me. And that's fine, but I wasn't buying so much of that. I've been watching more the way he's been interacting with the house guests in the house, and he's been doing a lot more socializing and a lot more game talk since week one. Week one, he was just a mess. He was a wreck. He didn't talk to, I mean, he talked to some people, but he never really talked game. He just wanted to leave. He didn't take any of this seriously, and now he's taking it a little more seriously. So I would buy his position in the house right now.
Yeah, he's been so much fun.
Did you see him in the storage room? Like, even on, like, the live feeds, like, I don't think it's just the DR, because he was, like, all pumped up, and I don't know. I think it's legit.
Yeah, I think he's hot and cold. I think when he's into it, he's into it, and when he's not, he's not. But he's been fun, and probably more fun than we were expecting. Well, I want to talk about Mark McGrath, because he's somebody that we haven't touched on too much during the course of the season. He's really settled into this Kevin Big Brother 19 role, Michelle. Do you feel like that? Is this a good spot for him, or does it ultimately go as far as it got for Kevin, where he gets to the final four and then ultimately is going to get cut?
I don't know. I could see him being final too. Just because,
can he win though?
I don't know, because these people are playing so hard, and it's like, I don't think they'd want to take their friend, like their ride or die or whatever. I think they'd want to take someone that they're not as close with, but that's just, because I think they're playing pretty hard and they're cutthroat. So
to answer your question, yes, I think he can win the game at this point. I think Chuck would vote for him, even though Mark voted against him, as long as Omarosa isn't in the finals as well. And I also feel like that Keisha would conceivably vote for Mark as well. I mean, he's a nice, amiable guy who doesn't get into any of the drama. And if you're looking for a inoffensive choice and there's, somebody who's hell on wheels as the opponent in the final two, then you might want to vote for Mark McGrath.
Yeah, I think I could see somebody bringing him to the end as somebody who is like, oh, what did Mark do? He's easy beat in the final two. And then if it was somebody who, played really hard, said stuff in the diary room, lied to people, then maybe this cast might end up going in the other direction, where Mark McGrath is like, I didn't do anything to you people.
I could see him doing that.
So. He's doing a good job of throwing. I'm sorry, it takes balls to throw competitions like this, especially if you're a competitor. And I've sensed that he wants to win, or at least try to win, but he just knows that he does not need to win at this point. And there are a lot of people in the history of Big Brother who knew that they didn't need to win and still won. They somehow still won. Like, even Ross last week, he didn't need to win, and yet he still won the game, or still won the HOH. So I think that should be applauded.
Meech, what do you think about Ross, who ends up coming down as HOH and now needs to, you know, get back under the radar? He catches a lucky break with Ari, ending up being the new HOH, where his plan didn't get leaked, and where it could have been him up on the block this week. How do you feel like that Ross is doing, Michelle?
I don't like a rat. That's all I got to say. I don't know. I don't like that whole like two teaming, and I know that's how you play the game, but it's just not something I like to like root for. So
yeah, it's not fun to root for as a fan. I drafted him first in my draft, and I still don't really care for his game at this point. I mean, yeah, he may very well win, but it's not necessarily appealing from a fan point of view. I think that his game has been a little bit messier in the last 10 days. He's sort of taken over the Shannon role of over-strategizing to a point where people start to second-guess his loyalty and where he's coming from and what deals he has. I think even Marissa has at times left him loyalty-wise and threw him under the bus to Brandy or Ari or anybody else who is in the room, because she sees how much he's gaming the process. So he just needs to, you know, bring it back a little bit. And I also think that it's not in his best interest that Shannon goes home this week. I think that he needs to try to find a way to keep Shannon in. He needs to pray that she wins the veto, because I think that he then becomes the next biggest target of people who are capable of winning comps and who are likable enough to win a jury vote at the end.
Brent, one of the things that I've heard him say before between the feeds and in clips is that he doesn't like using the back door. He thinks it's gross, is a quote I've heard him say. I don't like the back door. I don't want to do that to people. People should get a chance to play. But then there he is throwing around backdoor plans in the episode tonight. I think that there's a chance that Ross ends up coming off very hypocritical in a season where people get a chance to watch these episodes.
No, this is what Taryn and I were talking about with Melissa on the roundtable yesterday, is that Ari really usurped Ross's role of the big move maker in the history of the game so far. Ross was going to do something, but he was pretty wishy-washy about it. Even though he ultimately was going to pull the trigger, he didn't get that chance. And, you know, if you looked at what happened on the episode, I mean, he just couldn't make up his mind about what he wanted to do. And I do agree with you that there is a chance that he could be perceived as a hypocrite to anybody in the jury and somebody that they're unwilling to vote for. And I think the reason why he's trying to push these backdoor plans is because if Shannon and James go up on the block, then he's exposed because everything's going to come out. And, you know, you basically saw some of that at, and, you know, prior to the nomination ceremony, that once they realized they were going to go on the block, that he can't play the middle anymore. He can try to be their friend, but he's going to be shown to be a rat. And he was.
Big Meech, I want to talk about James in this season. Are you enjoying the James Maslow experience? Yes. Okay.
13-year-old me loves him, too.
So you were a big time Rush fan.
You know what's funny is his character in the show is like the cocky, full of himself person he is in real life, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
You guys should watch a clip of him.
Brent, do you feel like that he was tongue in cheek or not when he said this in the diary room tonight?
What happened last time somebody put me on the block? Audience? Yes. They went home next.
How do you not love him? He's so funny.
Yeah, he's just made for the diary room. He's really, really good at stuff like that. He's such a weasel. But I just find myself, he's very endearing in a weaselish sort of way. Like, you know what you're getting with James. The thing that I said to Taryn and Melissa on the show yesterday was that the worst part about James's game is that he is honest and he is looking for people to ride or die with. Like, I totally believe that he would go to the end with anybody who was true to him. Unfortunately, he can't really find anybody. He can't find any takers for his offers at this point.
Yeah. I would.
Whoa, yeah, I know you would. Michelle. So he had a good moment also when he ends up going up on the block and is like, it's really not a bad pick, right?
Yeah. I mean, Meech, this is the best thing about him. I would like you to talk about this, because even though he's being openly targeted by the house and some people don't like him, he's not taking it personally. He's not getting angry with them. He's making jokes. He's being, you know, hey, you know, that's pretty funny. And I look pretty good up there. I mean, in a charming, like almost, please don't come for me, Dr. Will-esque way, where, you know, you're just like, he's a little above it. And, you know, he's not taking it. He's not personally offended by it. And I think that makes him very easy to overlook in the game, and not somebody that you're like, oh my gosh, I got to get him out because he's being terrible, because he's not.
No, I love that. Yeah, that's a really good point. Did you see the scene where they're all on their phones? Like, I feel like people rip on him all the time and he takes it like a grain of salt, which is like insulting his shirt, insulting his hands. Like,
mm-hmm. He loves himself so much. You can't shake his confidence.
I mean, looking like that, I wouldn't either.
Whoa, Michelle.
Well, and to be clear, and I don't want the life eaters to come for me, I realize that he can get a bit cocky at times and rub certain people the wrong way. He can act a little bit like a turd, and that can annoy people to a point where he could be targeted over Shannon if she is in, you know, the bed with the blanket over her, like Audrey with the sunglasses on, saying, "I want to quit." And then there's James, who's, you know, walking around like a rooster, thinking he owns the place because Shannon is being targeted. That's when he becomes unbearable. So he needs to be careful of that.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the James and Shannon dynamic, we saw Shannon end up like put herself to bed. She got mad during that dinner scene, Michelle, where she's like, "Oh, I see how it is. Nobody's talking to me." She put herself to bed. And I know you guys have talked about on the live feed updates, you know, is she being calculated in terms of is this strategy of, okay, I want everybody to think that I'm rolling over and playing dead. But, you know, she's saying a lot of these things about, "Oh, I don't like this anymore. I just want to go home." And nobody's even in earshot to hear it other than the cameras. So it does feel like this is a low point for Shannon personally and not just playing possum at this point.
Yeah, I think Meech, I'm sorry, but this is a real thing. I mean, if you want me to call it something else, I can, but it's crybaby-itis. She's mad. She's a sore loser. She's going to lose the game probably if she doesn't win the veto or something doesn't turn around for her. She thought she had everything set and ready to go. And now, just like what happened to her when she was doing it to other people during week one, when people flipped the tables on her. When she flipped the tables on them during week one and had sort of reveled in that, like, "Ha-ha, we made a big move. We flipped the house." Now people have flipped the house against her and she's on the receiving end and it's not so fun anymore. So I feel like you have to take the good with the bad, and she's not doing a very good job of that at this point.
Michelle, can you speak to it all? Like, how do you get through the low moments in the Big Brother house? Because I get it. It's fun and it's easy when you're a front runner and when you're winning, when you're not on the block, when you're doing well. We see Omarosa laughing it up. Ha ha ha. So, it's so much fun to play Big Brother. But when things aren't going your way, how do you get through those moments?
Oh God. It's just like, once you hit that point, it's so hard to, you know, just get it together. I think just having like a person, but Omarosa's person's gone. And I don't, it would just, once you were feeling like that failure and you know, like there's no going back, like let's face it, if Shannon doesn't win the veto, like it looks really grim. I mean, eviction's what? When? Tomorrow?
Friday.
Yeah. So like, this game is so fast paced too. I'm just surprised that these people are breaking so easy. Like, I didn't break until probably like at least halfway through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michelle, were you surprised to see the Women's Alliance fall apart so quickly, where even the Fatal Five had a couple of weeks?
Great times. But no, I'm not surprised. But I'm just wondering if you did get together like trustable women, no rats, no whatever. But honestly, don't you feel like everyone at one point in this Celebrity Big Brother edition has turned on each other? Mm-hmm. I'm just so surprised. And it's like everyone's playing musical chairs with like alliances, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, who's actually like stayed together other than like Ari and Brandy, really? Yeah.
That's it. Ari and Brandy are the only two people that I have seen who I have not heard Brandy or Ari throw each other under the bus.
Everyone else.
Right. Exactly. Even like I said,
chairs. Yeah. Every freaking other competition, they all switch alliances.
Okay. Yeah,
there's nobody who's loyal in the house right now. And I mean, that's telling in the way that the game is being played right now. People are just willing to, to break and reform alliances, and nobody really bats an eye.
All right, I want to take some questions, and then we'll get into the live feeds because we have some stuff to talk about from the feeds. This is a question, and this one comes from Again, it's easier when Scott is pulling these ahead of time. Curious, is, I think there's a possibility of Ross getting evicted if James gets him off the block because people are catching on to him. Maybe this is something that we should visit more in the live feeds. You know, actually, let's just go to the live feeds because this is too hard to read these questions ahead of time.
Sure, sure, yeah, totally, I understand. Yeah,
and how invaluable Scott is.
Live feeds.
What's that?
Yeah, sure. What's up, Meech?
Go for it.
I am just really hoping that James Maslow wins so that James could go down as the James in Big Brother and we can never hear about James Hewling again. That'll be my dream. Sorry if you get any hate, but I just wanted to say that.
Okay. So what does he have to do that, Meech? If he wins?
To win?
Does he have to win?
I feel like keep doing what he's doing. I mean, you heard what, you know, Brent said. I mean, he could just be overlooked. And at the end of the game, I'm sure he's good at charming a speech away. I mean, he's an actor. All these people are so well-spoken in the DR. I've never seen better DRs in my life.
I will say this really quickly, though. He is he's a little bit of a shit. And I don't know that he can get five votes. I don't know that these celebs are willing to vote for him. The young kind of muscly guy in the house. I don't know that he can do that. I think he can get to the final two, but jury vote that's tough.
Yeah.
I'll take.
Yeah. And I do think that, you know, if he gets up there against somebody that the house really has a good hate into, I feel like that he has a shot. He has a shot if there's somebody that pisses everybody off. So
James and Mark calling it now. Look,
that's why him and Shannon could be a good pairing. You know, there's so many people in the house that seem to, you know, genuinely dislike Shannon. So that if they could figure it out, but it's going to be a long road to hoe to be able to get to that point. All right. And also Mr. Robot Taryn wants to know, bigger crier, Shannon or Big Meech? Michelle, what would you say? Shannon?
I think Shannon's a very pretty crier. I'm a hideous crier. I think I cried more than her personally.
Yes.
Yeah, she cries a live eviction. She could take my throne.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that I think I have to vote for Big Meech on this one. But by the way, Robot Taryn, congratulations on getting your tweet on the Big Brother episode proper. That was very, very cool.
Onto the live show.
I've never seen Taryn's name in front of me on a TV screen.
Yes. Okay.
They actually put me on there one time.
Very cool.
One time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. We're going to get into the live feeds. We'll be back on Friday night if you're going to bounce out now. Zeke Smith is going to be here with me in the studio this Friday night. So I'm very excited that he'll be joining us to talk about everything Big Brother from the 2-hour live eviction coming up Friday night. And we'll find out what is going to be going on. But first, we'll talk about everything from the live feeds on our spoiler section.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, get my spoiler pump working. Okay, good. Boy, Mr. Announcer Guy, you know, I always say that he has no chill. And he proved that once again here tonight with his talking about the Keyes Napoleon situation.
Please, whatever ounce of compassion you have to send me home.
And then pump some shade at Shannon.
No, we're not talking about the pumping shade.
I missed that one, actually.
She pumps some shade at Shannon. What did you think about that when Keyes Napoleon said, hey, and Shannon and James, just so you know, Shannon did not have your back. She told me to put you on the block.
Yeah, I mean, I always like that when there's a little bit of daggers going out the door. Meech, didn't you do that? I want to say you like some people.
That was the best decision of my life. I wish I did more. I love when people do that. Blow up people's games. They got you out. Fuck them over. Sorry.
Yes. Okay. All right. There you go. All right. So, Brent, it's been a lot of fireworks going on here. And again, we don't know who has won the veto unless the feeds came back up while we were on, but they're still down, right?
Yeah, they're still down right now. We don't know who has won the power of veto. There's, again, I sort of alluded to it in the pre-spoiler section, but James knowing that Shannon is the target is not rubbing people the right way. He's just, you know, Brandy just cannot stand him. And she thinks he's dumb and she thinks that she can manipulate him, but she also can't stand him. And there's definitely a danger that they might want to save Shannon and vote to evict James on Friday night. And I think that's certainly a possibility if he doesn't win the veto.
Okay. All right. Let's take this through some of the fireworks we've seen in terms of the fights that have gone on over the last 24, 36 hours. Could you set some of that up, Brent?
Well, obviously, the Shannon versus Omarosa fight that happened after the nomination ceremony, I thought was really, really interesting, because this is where I was screaming at Shannon to sort of just own her game a little bit more. Don't run away from the fact that you've been playing the F out of the game. Like, you need to own that, because everybody knows that. The one thing that I was kept coming back to was the fact that Shannon kept saying, well, why am I such a threat? And then there's this guy who I apologize, who was on Twitter, who tweeted, you know, Shannon saying, why am I such, I don't understand why I'm such a threat. And then they had her 16 letter responsibilities word spelled out. So, you know, she just has no perspective whatsoever, Rob. And she thinks that I can't tell. She was sort of painting between the lines. I can't tell if she was talking about Omarosa pulling the race card on her or Omarosa pulling like a dishonesty card on her. She said that Omarosa pulled a card on her and they got into it. Omarosa, she asked Omarosa to leave the room. Omarosa wouldn't leave the room. And she said, I will not be dismissed. All right.
Yeah.
And Shannon's like, well, okay, I'm just going to talk to you right in front of everybody then. And they proceeded to hash it out. You know, to her credit, Omarosa, like, as you say, Rob, never really raised her voice. But Shannon was, if she wasn't aware of it already, she was at least aware of it by now, that people think that she's been making deals with everybody and that she's been playing too hard. She's the best competitor in the game. And everybody in the house agreed on this. If Ari or anybody else besides James had won HOH, these still would have been the nominations. And that was a tough pill for her to take, to realize, you know, basically I've been had. And I thought that, you know, the one thing we didn't talk about was during the competition, she should have known that something was up.
Yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't matter who wins HOH, they're not going to be acting crazy like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
like we had a new alliance, Michelle, taking over as the celebrators. Lots of celebrating. I mean, they went nuts for that HOH after Ari won. What was it? Brandy, Marissa, and Omarosa, like, tackling her.
And when you go into a competition, like, there's always this, like, vibe that, like, you kind of sense, like, that people are working together, or just kind of, like, you can, like, feel the energy. It's so weird. And then when someone wins, like, there's always the people that are super sad or that are worried. And you, I don't know. It's a really strange feeling.
Yeah.
But she definitely knew something was up, or else I don't know what she was thinking.
Okay, Brett, so then how has Shannon been handling the knowing everybody is coming after her now?
Just like I want her to, for the most part, you know, being very upset and, you know, giving up and, you know, acting like that she is done with the game and that she's over it and that she doesn't have any friends. And meanwhile, you know, James is walking around like the new cock on the block and people are ready to
another ready great to boy band.
You know, the thing about this house is
in
that
defense of James. Sorry.
Meech is such a James apologist. What are you, his agent?
Yes. No. But can we talk about, do you guys remember how hard James campaigned the first week?
Oh, yeah. We gave it up to him. I was thrilled after watching what happened on Big Brother 19, where, you know, everything was just directed by Paul. It was lovely to see people thinking for themselves and the house actually listening. You know, there were actually people who were willing to consider his pleas. He never gave up, and I totally gave him credit for that. Having said that, his pleas, for the most part, I gave him credit for planting seeds, but it was not because of him that the week one flip happened. It was because of the crazy
people.
Right. It was because of the crazy people on that side of the house, meaning Shannon, who wanted to make a big move and then eventually has to pay for that big move. But this is the invoice.
Right. Now, Brent, let me ask you, though, with Shannon and what she's doing, do you feel like, I know you're saying that this, and Taryn has talked about this as well, that this is the right course of action for her, but do you believe that she is doing this because she sees that, okay, if I do this, X will happen, or do you feel like she is doing this because emotionally this is how she's feeling and there is no strategy behind the scenes in terms of what she's doing?
Yeah, I've seen no evidence that there is any strategy behind the scenes. And that's the worst part, because I would love for her to go into the diary room, having said that we haven't really seen her diary room
yet. And own it and say, yeah, okay, exactly. Idiot, stupid, ha ha ha.
And maybe there'll be a little revisionist history where, because now she's finding out that maybe I'm not the target anymore. Maybe the house wants to get rid of James. Brandy's been talking to her. Ross has been talking to her. Maybe we want to get rid of James, not you, you know, because James really rubbing us the wrong way. And she's been made aware of that. So she, her spirits have perked up a little bit. But I would just like for her, because she's her own worst enemy, Meech. She just needs to. I almost wish the house hadn't told her that they're thinking about saving her and kicking out James, because she just can't help herself. And, and the minute she starts trying to game again with people and make deals, they're going to be reminded about the fact that she's a really, really kick-ass competitor, and they're going to want to get rid of her.
Yeah. Michelle, do you think there's any chance that Shannon could be playing this up and that we will get one of those diary room moments on Friday that she's saying that this is what her plan is?
I think it's going to get better as the week goes on. Just, you know, because you're getting used to being on the block, used to the idea of going home. But do I think that it's all a ploy right now? No, I think she's absolutely feeling this way and she's absolutely defeated. But as I said, like, the burn stings less. Like, right.
Rob, the best thing that can happen to her right now, or the best thing that is happening to her, is that this is not like the Friday to Monday eviction where, you know, the veto happens and then boom, 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 things move really fast. Like, she's got some time here to let things marinate a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this house has a very itchy trigger finger, as you've seen. They want to make big moves. They want to flip the script a lot. It's been very fun to watch. But that said, a lot of times when they make a plan, as they've made right now with wanting to get rid of Shannon, somebody feels like, well, that's the old plan. I want to do a new plan. This is boring. I want to do a new plan.
And so,
exactly. So now the new plan is James, but can they withstand the pressure and go with that plan? Or will they go back to another new plan and go back to trying to evict Shannon? I don't know.
Can you talk through the two plans, assuming the veto does not get used? Who is pushing for the James eviction? What group of house guests would like to see James go home?
I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, in my defense, they've been a little bit all over the place, and it's been hard to tell. Having said that, Brandy continues to be annoyed with James, although she does seem interested in saving him because she thinks that she can manipulate him. I know that Ari likes James, but also is a bit threatened by him. She thinks that he tries to use his male charms on her and flirt with her. I know I know Meech is like, yes, please let that happen to me. Yes, I would love for him to try.
The baby costume. I want to be a baby with James.
And honestly, Marissa and Ross have been doing a good enough job at trying to let Ari make the decision. Like, this is your decision. We want this to be your decision, even though they've been trying to, like, guide her in the direction that they want her to go. So I think that Omarosa will still have her hand in this a little bit. And I think that Omarosa is definitely a possibility as a replacement nominee, just as somebody to throw up there if one of them wins the veto. But I do feel like she's going to have her hands in trying to direct who goes home if the veto is not used.
Okay. So we'll see ultimately how this all plays out. Can you give us the best case scenario for Shannon, Brent?
I think the best case scenario for Shannon is that I'm trying to think what the best case scenario is and how it would shake out. Basically, the best case scenario for Shannon, I feel like, is for Ross to somehow be evicted. And Ross has been earning the distrust of Brandy and, by extension, Ari quite a bit, because he just has a little sneaky way about him that he can't really help himself. And he's also guilty of over gaming and over strategizing. So I feel like that if one of them wins the veto, getting Ross up on the block is not out of the question if Shannon lets it all out and really comes for him. But in order for her to do that, she's going to have to be safe. She won't do that unless she's totally safe. So I feel like she has to win the veto. So I sort of talked it out as I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
I feel like Shannon needs to win the veto. She needs to feel totally unencumbered by the stress of the house, come after Ross. But again, as I talked with Taryn and Melissa about yesterday, she trusts Ross too much. And I don't know, maybe it's the fact that he's the gay guy in the house and he was originally in the Alliance of the Women, and that she feels like, you know, he's a copacetic super fan that, you know, she can get along with. I don't know exactly why she trusts him so much, but she really needs to let go of that.
Yeah, Michelle, you know, I was thinking about this the other day that I feel like that the Ross and Shannon thing is a little bit like the Frank and Tiffany situation from Big Brother 18, where you had these two players that are sort of like, you know, really gunning for each other, and probably neither of them is going to be there at the end.
I don't know. Their situation was weird. Like, they went from like hating each other and wanting each other out to like working together. And I don't think it's that severe in this case. Like, for them, like, what? So you're saying that you think that they're both not going to win? So that.
I think where Rob's coming from is the fact that they're both, you know, powers in the house. They're, you know, if you're looking at the power rankings of the people who are, you know, very likely to direct the course of the game and get to the end of the game, Ross and Shannon are certainly, you know, two of the best movers and shakers in the game. And currently Ross is targeting Shannon, and Shannon, if she knows what's good for her, should probably be targeting Ross. I mean, said that neither one of them will probably make it to the end because they're both going after each other.
Yeah, and then, you know, both players, you know, you could sort of make the case for the other one. Oh, they're a threat. And then you both end up losing. You know, it happens a lot on these shows where two players who are, you know, really big threats, you know, make a very compelling case why the other one is a big enough threat when they really just need to provide cover for one another.
Yes.
Brent, this is a question from Stacked, who is on Twitter.
Stacked.
Yes. What do you think will happen if Omarosa wins Power of Veto and takes down Shannon? Who goes home since they promised Joshua Final Five and protection? Who is the replacement nominee? Mark, Meta, or Ross?
I think it would probably be Mark right at this moment. I didn't actually hear about this, what she's a she, he, I get a stacked, I don't know your gender, is referring to insofar as the promises that they made to James. That's that, by the way, Joshua is James. We joke about that on Twitter, but Brandy called James Joshua, I think, during the first week, and ever since then it's sort of stuck. So, I didn't hear about the deal that was made with James insofar as a fake Final Five deal. But any deal they made with him, though, is fake. So he just needs to be aware that there are people that have his back in this game. And Shannon and, I don't know, maybe Mark. But aside from that, everybody else is just talking. They're just talking through their.
But is that viable that Omarosa might use the veto and take down Shannon?
I can't imagine
that Omarosa would win the veto that they're doing, the black box veto.
Right. I don't see it, but she doesn't like James, and I feel like there's a possibility that she could want to make a big move for TB, and that would be like the biggest, like, you know, come to Jesus moment where it's like, oh my God, the two villains are uniting against each other, against the house, and frankly, that would be really fun. But the problem for Omarosa right now in making that move is that she's not really on anybody's radar right now. And if she makes that move, then she really will be on somebody's radar. Having said that, I think
she's a villain.
I was just going to say, well, I mean, she's a villain to the
underdog now.
What I was going to say was, I don't think Omarosa is actually one of the players. Was she pulled? Hold on. Let me look to see who was playing for the veto. She is playing for the veto. Yeah, Ari, James, Shannon, Brandy, Omarosa, and Ross.
Okay, I watched Omarosa's a clip today where Shannon was talking to Omarosa, and Omarosa was like talking her up. She's like, Shannon, I want to see a woman win this game. I've been with you. I want to see you can do it. I've got your back. And then she went right out of that conversation and went to Marissa. She's like, keep her away from me. She is a psycho. I don't want anything to do with her.
I think that one thing that is clear, and, you know, you're talking about who wants who out. Meta definitely wants James out. I don't know why he's threatened by him. I think he just annoys him more than anything. The thing about Shannon and the way she's acting right now is that the house is very aware of the fact that she is giving up on the game and that she's not really interested in playing anymore, that she says she wants to go home. But there are people within the alliance who believe that this is an act. Now, I don't believe it's an act, but people like Omarosa and Ross are at least aware that this is a strategy that has worked for players in the past. Hi, Audrey, looking at you. And that they might want to second guess this plan of saving Shannon and evicting James if they think that she's up to something here.
Mm-hmm. We saw tonight on the show Omarosa talking about the state of the White House and the state of the First Lady. I don't think that either of her comments or either of those topics are going to end up being mainstream news tomorrow, Brent.
No, the one thing that she said earlier, or was a couple days ago, that she she obviously, you saw on the show, she said that Pence is worse. And this isn't politics. I'm just repeating what Omarosa is saying, so don't come for me, people. And she said that Pence is worse because he believes that Jesus talks to him and tells him what to say. So, you know, if you believe that, congratulations. If not, but I think that might be picked up by the news service.
Oh, that definitely was. That was everywhere. But this is not going to be the White House is old. It's not as good as Trump Tower. Melania is smarter than you know. She, again, this is just that felt a little.
Speaks seven languages.
It felt a little forced to include that in the show. It's,
You know what? But Rob, they it's like a marriage of convenience. Like Omarosa is in the Big Brother game. She's aware that she's providing little tidbits here and there for the show to show. The show is showing those little tidbits, and they're living for the fact that Omarosa is getting them some free coverage.
Yeah, but it's like, Omarosa, got any better stories?
I know, right?
Like, we got to do better than the White House is not that nice.
Yeah, these are the dregs.
Are you going to get me and James Maslow baseball tee for being on the show today?
Thirsty.
You know his baseball tee? It says the JM and the hat. Come on now.
Hashtag thirsty. Thirsty.
People are going to think that there was like a bunch of stuff that just got edited out of the show, Meech, that you just shouted that out. I will buy. Yes, I'll buy you a James Maslow t-shirt for being on the show. Yes.
Because Meech, it was a total non sequitur. Like we were talking about this other conversation about Omarosa, and then all of a sudden it's like, I just want to remind you I'm thirsty for James.
Yeah.
Big Meech, for appearing on the show today, I will buy you a James Maslow softball tee. Well, I'll get your size information, and then you can be part of the Maslow army.
Oh yeah, it's the Maslow army. I like it.
Got some merch for you. Go follow his socials.
Oh, that killed me. Yeah, well, what color do you want, Big Meech?
The black and white
black
one.
Black and white. Black and white James Maslow tee.
At first, I thought, you know how Meta World Peace wears all like the panda stuff? I thought he was like an advocate for World Wildlife Foundation. Completely different panda logo. It's his own line.
Yeah.
Is this going to turn into a thing where the guests get to come on and then ask me for presents?
Kidding.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't want to start a thing where it's like I'm Santa Claus where people come on. I have to give them you know, it's like the Godfather. It's like on the day of the podcast, you can ask me for any favor and I can't refuse. Michelle, who's gonna win this game?
I don't know at this point. I can't, as I said again, it's just like freaking musical chairs where the power is always changing and the player, it's probably going to be like Ari.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see it.
Yeah, I feel like Ari is definitely a possibility because I feel like that Brandy will always be evicted before her. And I don't know. So you can probably tell I was actually asking the chat room about this Final Five deal with James. Brent, you know, Brent sleeps during the day sometimes. And apparently there was a lot of action between 2 and 3 that I missed. So I'm gonna have to go back and look at that. But there was a fake a real deal with James for Final Five. But
how do we know what's real and what's fake? Because they talk about it afterwards when he's not in the room. So that was real. That was real.
I know. Right. Well, I trust Stacked, and Stacked is saying that they said it was a real deal and that there was lots of action. So we'll see. I don't know. Omarosa and Shannon worked Meta at different times insofar as, you know, Meta has a hard on for getting James out of the house. So obviously if they're going to save him, they're going to need to bring Meta in on the plan. But Stack does not seem very convinced that the deal will happen. You got to tell me your gender, Stack. The deal is going to fail.
Okay. All right. Here's some other questions and comments from the chat. Callie on Twitter says, I don't always agree with Big Meech, but her commentary tonight is on point.
Oh, yes. Oh, Rob, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you think Zangbot's going to come?
So that Dalton Ross, I believe, was told today from Entertainment Weekly that we will not see Zangbot this season. I was actually a little surprised. I thought they would have loved to have gotten the Zangbot in there, but maybe they were worried. Are they going to say something that's going to offend the celebrity? I don't understand why they wouldn't do it, Brent.
Yeah, I don't know. That was what I was thinking too. Is like, you know, some of these people have fragile egos. So I don't know. And you're willing to make. I mean, they're willing to make fun of themselves and do crazy stuff. I mean, they're crawling around in a spa picking noses, you know, with these statues, and then they're holding on to the award statue with, you know, ketchup and whatever being sprayed on them. So, I mean, they have no shame. I don't understand why a little bit of ribbing from the Zingbot wouldn't be fun. I mean, Meech was living for the Zingbot when he came in the house.
Yeah. Well, look, not everybody's a good sport like Big Meech.
That's why me and James are a match in heaven. We're good sports about people making fun of us.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you guys want to find me on Twitter, I'm changing my handle to Maslow Army. So follow me.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is big news tonight. Yeah.
Breaking news are happening now.
All right, Big Meech is changing her Twitter. So what are you going to be, at Maslow Army, or you're just changing your, you'll still be the same Twitter handle, but your name will be Maslow Army?
I'm just playing. But actually, did you guys know, right when Celebrity Big Brother was announced, I literally hoarded all these Twitter accounts. CBS Celeb BB, CBB USA.
So wait, hold on. What do you mean? So you made new Twitter accounts.
She's a squatter.
You're a squatter. You squatted on all of them. And then are you going to sell them, like the time you put all this stuff on eBay? Are you going to flip them?
I haven't thought about it, but.
Good times,
but what do you do? Michelle, what are you doing with all of these things?
I literally forgot about them completely. So I haven't been
so you had them? You squatted on them?
I'm a squatter.
Brent, I noticed that there was a thing on the screen tonight about a upcoming vote that is going to be what's going on there?
Telling us.
Care package?
Yeah, we don't know what this is about, Rob. And I really am sort of annoyed because, can they not see that they have a great cast and a great show? This could not have gone any better. Like, knock wood, this has been great. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, okay, well, we want to introduce a vote into it, you know, so that America feels like they have some agency in the game. Go to hell. We don't need America. We don't need agency in the game. Just let them play.
Big Meech, will you be using all of those squatted handles that you have and to work with the Maslow Army to engineer the care package?
I'm gonna create a bot so I can vote, like, just do thousands of votes at one time on CNN. I'm going to find someone to program a code for me.
That's why we are going to open a panel into looking into the vote to see why James Maslow won this vote. It's not right. I know that there's a lot of Omarosa voters out there.
I'm a little worried that there's a vote because honestly, I think what's good about this is that these people aren't here to like get famous or get fans. Like, and I think that once you play that like popularity vote into that, like everyone probably thinks you're the most popular person in the house.
No,
like,
but I think it would be so funny though, Brent, if they had a vote and it wasn't like some great power, like the platinum power of veto or anything like that, but it was just like a little thing. And they're like, the winner of the care package is James Maslow. It would drive Brandy crazy. Like, what do you mean he's the most popular?
I would live for it so much. Please let that happen. Like, I don't care if they're giving away, like, you know, like some bottled water.
You would
or something,
win. You know? Come on now.
Well, and then if he didn't win, he would like, wait a second. Hold on. Are you telling me I'm not the most popular person in the house?
Nobody's buying my baseball tees.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
It's like we only sold one to Big Meech. That's the only one we got. Okay.
Oh my God.
A couple people wrote to me tonight to say, Rob, that James didn't lose by 1 millisecond, that Ari had the best time and they just stopped the clock at 1 millisecond after. Whoa.
It was close.
Yeah. It was close.
Yeah, exactly. It was within a second. So I don't know if it was within like, you know, a hundredth of a second, but it was close.
Yeah. Okay. This is a question from Thomas. Says, given the fact that Meta finally understands the game and is friends with so many of the house guests, do you think he has a chance of winning? P.S. I'm officially an Ariadna fan. So could Meta World Peace win this, Brent?
Yes, I do believe he can, because I think that Chuck would vote for him and I think that Keisha would vote for him. And I think that he is an inoffensive enough guy and a cool enough guy. I mean, he's just like, how nutso would it be that Meta World Peace wins the first season of Celebrity Big Brother? I think all the celebs, you know what? I think they could get behind that because they're like, that's just nuts enough where I'd rather give it to him than, you know, somebody over here who backstabbed me. I'd rather give it to the guy, basically the joke of the cast. I'd rather give it to him.
Yeah. Meet you in on that? Meta world peace?
Yeah. I would vote for him over Ross.
Okay. Very anti-Ross, Big Beach.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
I just don't like a rat, okay?
Yeah, I know. He's definitely a rat, but to his credit, he went into the house saying he was going to play like that. He said he was going to play like Andy and just be a floater and, be everybody's best friend and then cut him. So, I at least he's owning his game. It's not a very visually appealing, though, from a fan point.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Do we think that Shannon, that basically is her reputation just so tarnished where I could see a scenario where James goes far into the game if Shannon ends up going home this week. But is there any scenario, Brent, where James goes out this week and Shannon ends up making a deep run?
She would need some allies, and in order to get allies, she's going to have to be united by a force that's bigger than her. And right now there's only two forces that I feel like that are bigger than Shannon and Elizabeth in the Big Brother house. And I feel like that's Ross and Marissa and Ari and Brandy. If people feel like that they are more threatening than Shannon by herself, then she could conceivably unite with Omarosa or Meta or Mark or, and James, or obviously James would be evicted, but there are possibilities for her if people fear, basically, if Ari and Brandy get HOH-itis too much. And I haven't seen evidence that she has. It's been a little bit there, but if, I think the worst thing for Ari and Brandy would be to, be HOH 2 weeks in a row. If Brandy won HOH next, I think that would just be terrible for their games. Both of them.
Brandy HOH, though, please.
Oh, well, yeah, from a feast perspective, it'd be great.
No, but, it'd be terrible for her. She'll get liquor in her HOH basket, and the whole thing will be out the window. She'll be like, oh, you know what else? Let me tell you something. So
I wonder if a really drunk Brandy will, go for James. I feel like she would.
Yeah. Brent, what's been the alcohol situation in the house? Because I know we had that first night that the feeds came up and we had, that was the one night Brandy was out of control. But they must not be getting that much to drink, right?
Not getting that much to drink. And I haven't seen Brandy really partaking too much of anything. And if she has been, people have been watching her. And, I haven't seen any evidence that it's been they've had the quantity of alcohol that they had during the first night of feeds, which was...
Orange room? Question mark.
Say again.
The squash is staying in the storage room.
the gourd, yeah.
Yes, the squash is staying. The squash has been. I think they removed it. Actually, I'm hoping they did.
Okay. Yeah, and we haven't touched at all, I don't believe, on Marissa during this podcast. What's been the state of Marissa, Brent?
Still playing second fiddle, still being like the Ethan, assistant coach kind of role where she's everybody's best friend. And, she's been willing to throw Ross under the bus, which was a revelation to me. I think that happened yesterday, maybe the day before, where she was, that was the first time I'd ever heard her talk bad about Ross. I'll say this, if Ross is pulling down her game, at least she's aware enough that it's happening and she could potentially cut bait and join with Ari and Brandy to create a threesome, even though she knows she's third, because I feel like the house would always try to break them up at some point. If there's a twosome in the house is always going to look at the twosome. So to answer your previous question about Shannon, again, I feel like that's her best plan is if she stays somehow, James is out, she's by herself, just chill, don't talk too much, let the house just come undone. I feel like that's her best path to the end.
Okay, Meech, what about Marissa? Are you out on her too as a rat?
No, I don't really. I mean, kudos to her for selling out Ross. Good for her. And I don't know. I think she's playing really well, and she has a really good, mindset going into the game, which, I like her, so.
Okay. All right. So we'll see how the veto ends up playing out. I see in the chat, some people want to know, can we get Meech's perspective on, have you been watching the challenge with Victor and Natalie?
Okay, so I don't have MTV. I literally only have 5 channels because I don't watch anything else. But Natalie is a freaking beast. I'm so proud of her. And Victor's gross, so.
Okay, Victor's gross. Why is Victor gross?
I loved the first couple episodes where he literally sucks so bad at challenges. It was just
he's gross he's gross on the show or he's gross in real life?
Both.
Both.
Yeah, okay. It's so funny because for a challenge beast, he's not been performing that well on the challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. Patty in the chat wants to know, can we set up a GoFundMe account for Meech to have live feeds for a Big Brother celebrity?
Yeah. Wait.
She would take them.
You.
Yes. By the way, I was informed by Stacked again. You know, Brent sleeps, so don't come for me. But apparently, Brandy got her wine for before the veto competition today. So, but my point being that she hasn't been like she was the day one when the feeds came on. She's never been like that since, and I think that her game has shown it. I mean, that's why she's actually in a relatively powerful position at this point, because she's pretty livable. She's pretty agreeable to live with. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Brent, I want to squash your head every time you say "don't come for you." Let them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, they do. You don't know. You don't know what it is, Michelle. As a live feed correspondent, you know, you say one wrong thing, and then 20 people in the chat room and 40 people on Twitter are like, "Brent, you don't watch the live feeds. Why, Rob? Why do you have this guy? Like, is
and
terrible,
this is
you know?
Why you? Use
I don't listen to them, Brent. I don't listen to them. I don't want to hear that. Okay.
Well, yeah. I try to do a good job.
Okay. You do a great job, yeah. Brent. It's a lot. Look, it's a lot to keep track of.
In this house, especially. That's like, I mean, like last season, whew, that was easy. I mean, I knew what the plan was. Just go. If I want to know the real plan, talk to Paul or listen to Paul. He's got the real plan. But this season, I mean, everyone's playing to win, and it's been very, very fun.
Michelle, when I first heard that Victor and Natalie was going to be on the challenge, I heard that you were going to be on the challenge also. Was that just a
fake news?
That's a secret I'll never tell. XOXO Gossip Girl. Okay. I can tell you this, Jose is going to be on the next one.
Yes, the Messiah. Now. I'm so excited. I wouldn't watch for Victor and Natalie. I would watch for Jose because he's good TV.
Oh, yeah.
He's great TV.
And like the randomest people like Cardi B's sister, Drake Bell. What's up with all these Nickelodeon stars?
Yeah.
Well, they have a lot of fans, a lot of tween fans, and that's who they want to be watching the show. And I mean, obviously, that's why they're picking on Big Brother. Not picking on, but picking from Big Brother. Yeah,
Big
definitely.
Yeah. Now, why not Glenn? What does Glenn have to do to get on one of these shows?
Well, the thing is, in order to get Glenn, you have to get Joey Rodriguez too, and well, it's just
that's so weird that you say that, because I would say I just saw on Twitter that Joey Rodriguez was saying, why don't they have Glenn on the challenge?
He should hook up with Natalie on the challenge. !!
All right. Well, we had so much fun tonight. Meech earned that James Maslow softball t-shirt tonight with a great job, Michelle. Okay, so kudos to you. People also commented that Meech has a great tan if you're just listening to the podcast feed.
Like my hands? Oh, awesome.
You have a great tan and you have great highlights too, Meech. Your hair looks great.
This is what it's called. Naked tan.
Naked tan. Is that in your HOH basket, Meech?
Actually, I did get self-tanner in my HOH basket. Thank you very much.
Okay. I can believe it.
All right.
Oh, can I just tell you guys how different the food and the storage room is? They get hooked up. They get like naked juices. We got like shady store brand Kroger stuff. And like they get hooked up.
Yes.
Like I'm shocked.
Did you notice as a dietitian, Meech, that you were able to spot that immediately?
I was not a dietitian in that house. Let's be honest.
Yes. I saw that James Maslow walking around with that kombucha.
They have kombucha? I just saw the naked drinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Rob, I mean, like they have all this stuff from the cool places, but Keisha couldn't find a bottle of water anywhere. So
I did think that Keisha did throw Big Brother under the bus in some of her interviews that she did. Yeah. I read with Mike Bloom. She talked about how she didn't want to drink the tap water while she was
either. And we didn't get bottled water. That water was disgusting. I'm telling you.
They didn't either, Meech. That's the problem.
Water going through CBS studio lot. It was disgusting. Yeah.
I also thought that she said when the pump broke, she said, "Hey, this is a sign from God. I got to get out of here." Was that a sign from God or from Grodd, Brent?
I didn't hear about this.
I'm thinking it was a sign from Grodd. So, but
she
you know,
said
like
a sign
I said,
from
I,
God. Got to get out of here now.
I'm happy that Keisha. I'm happy she left the game because I would rather Shannon be in the game. And if she didn't do what she did during the show on Monday, then Shannon would have been evicted. So.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody's a winner. All right. So Big Meech, follow at Maslow Army on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now what's your real Twitter name?
Michelle M BB18.
Okay.
The M stands for Maslow, not Meyer.
Okay. So there you go. And of course, Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Of course, Taryn will be back as well Thursday morning to talk about everything that's going on with the veto competition and much more on the live feed update, 10 a.m. Eastern time, 7 a.m. Pacific. Thanks, everybody, for checking this out. I will be back with you guys Friday night with Zeke Smith after a 2-hour victory. So take care, everybody. Good morning. Bye.